They told me what you doing. I said, what I'm about to do is turn the fuck up.
Hi, this is Finny Kim, and you're listening to Dark Match Top Dive.
Hey guys, this is Selena de la Renta, Film Promociones Dorado and MLW. You're listening to Dark Match Podcast.
You are currently listening to the Dark Match Podcast, but more importantly, you're listening to the voice of the first and only ever two-time Rookie of the Year, Jackson Argo.
What the fuck? Like, what is wrong with you?
Unfortunately, with everything that's been going on, like I've literally just been dealing with my son for the last, I could say 2 years now, but yesterday we fully anticipated recording from my house, and it was going to be. Yeah, I was just like, after everything that we dealt with and everything, because long story short, so my son has found a new. I guess you could say escape route. So he figured out how to crawl through a small little hole in our fence. And we have like a chain link fence. Like it's nothing big. It's nothing major. But he figured out how to get through it. So instead of coming downstairs and recording last night, we had to build a stop gate. Which was fun because like watching you like hit with a sledgehammer, like bringing you the sledgehammer. Like, the look on your face was like a kid getting, like, a Nintendo 64, like, back in the early 90s. Like, the smile on your face, like, when I was handing it to you. And, obviously, I had to put on Triple H's theme song, like, after that point. But, a good news is... Yeah, only appropriate. Good news is he couldn't figure out the fence today. He really didn't even try. But he did find a new task. He started throwing... a bunch. That is his new favorite pastime at this point in time. So, but I mean, hopefully soon we'll be back together. We will be back together this Friday. It is opening day for baseball.
So. Oh, you have no idea how excited I am.
Oh, I am just as excited as you are. So I cannot wait. The anticipation is growing. I am ready to get back to Major League Baseball.
The girlfriend is actually indulging my pre-opening day ritual.
Which is, for those that don't know...
I have to watch Major League the night before opening day.
Ooh, I might join you in that tradition this year. Maybe we'll, like, put it on at the same time, and then we'll just...
Dude, I was, like, gearing up for it in March, and then they shut everything down, they stopped my baseball, and I, like, even times it's been on TV, I think the only time I've actually put it on... was like 3 in the morning when I was trying to fall asleep.
Yeah.
I didn't see any of it. So it was fine because I didn't watch it.
Yeah.
I have things ready. I'm going to go hang out with her tomorrow evening. Going to put it on, you know, got the DVD ready to go because it's not on Netflix and or Hulu.
It's on YouTube TV though.
Yeah, but that's going to be like through AMC and it's going to be edited and censored. This, I can watch it continuously without commercials and it's unedited and you know,
I would have to check because I think when I watched it, it was, ooh, my wife just brought me a summer shandy. Thank you so much. I appreciate it. But I think it wasn't edited, but I do have to. And some of the lines in the first movie are not as good unless it's unedited.
Exactly.
So, especially when he goes to meet her new girlfriend. Her new boyfriend, his ex's new boyfriend, and they're walking out. That scene. No, it's not as good edited. No, it's just not the same. So, but a lot of things to cover, which we'll definitely touch on, and whether or not we have wrestling back in Ohio once again after the recent announcement, doesn't look like it's going to be anytime soon.
It's probably not going to happen this year. Let's be honest.
No, 2020 is donezo. So there is not going to be any wrestling in Ohio in 2020. So any way that you can support would be truly appreciated. Another great way you could support us is something that happened earlier this week. Our new shirt finally dropped after all that hype for it. Thank you so much to Jack Pollock once again for designing our t-shirt. Huge numbers so far. I know we've retired that word. from the show. But big numbers from our opening day of this shirt being on sale. I'm still getting emails from orders coming in, which I'm truly pumped about. I've been slacking on social media, so I do apologize. I need to send personal thank yous to everyone that did purchase a shirt, because I do get the order notification. But thank you, everyone that did make those t-shirt purchases. Send us the picture of you wearing them. We'll be sure to post it. And I'm sure What a Maneuver will be happy to post them as well. But at this point, I think I have a perfect
I have one more thing. I have one more thing.
Yes.
One more shout out to and thank you to Jack Bollock for opening my eyes to MLW, Major League Wiffle Ball.
I thought you were going to.
I am so addicted. I am so addicted. I've caught up at least on this year.
That is true.
On this season. Anytime they post new videos, dear God, yeah. It is so good.
Yeah. It is.
I actually did a couple years ago buy a wiffle ball bat and some actual like original wiffle balls, so it's like the eight slot ball. I want to get a group of people together, learn how to play with that thing, and just play.
I'm down. So you just let me know. But otherwise, getting down, our guest this week has been making waves across social media for a certain reason. He does a live stream for something in particular. We don't want to give anything away. He's going to talk all about it. So let's dive right into our interview right now. So ever since you've gotten on social media, and as of late, like it just seems like every single day that I open up Twitter, you're like one of the first names that pops up, and it's an open invitation in a sense to truly like blaze it up with you, which I find awesome. But give me one second here.
Alrighty.
So someone was calling me right now. It's like 9:30 at night. Like, why are you calling me right now? Why?
This ain't Bill Collecting Hours.
No. It's probably like Marriott Hotel or like Carnival Cruise Line. I don't know if you ever get it, but they just ruined my entrance. It's like someone just jumped the guardrail and like ran in on the ring on the finish. Like, what the fuck? This is bullshit. But back to the story. You've been like doing these like live takes, like, hey, like whoever wants to blaze it up right now, like I'm about ready to go live, like who wants to smoke a blunt, like whatever gets you through quarantine, I'm all for it. But yeah, you've been just gaining traction across social media, so I see it every single time that I log on. So I was like, you know what, I got to have this guy on. So on the line with us here today, by popular demand, because I'm not the only one that was like, we need this guy on the show to do like a virtual like smoke session. We have Big Beef, Gnarls Garvin, on the line. First and foremost, you've already spoken, but how are you doing today?
Oh, I'm doing a lot better than I deserve, the old typical cliche, but I'm doing pretty good. I just lit this blown up here, so gonna feel right by the end of this.
Well, I opened up a beer, so cheers to you. And
there you go.
This is only gonna get more fun as we go on. Let's be honest. So we're already off to a great start. But already you're off to a great start too, because you had informed me yesterday you returned to work finally, first day back yesterday. How did your second day go?
Well, my first day was so rough that they gave me today off.
Are you serious?
Yeah, it was terrible. I don't know if you've ever worked for a moving company before, but it's pretty strenuous work. And like, they're very flexible with their scheduling, and I had no clue why. And it's because, you know, you're gonna put your body through some pain. So I learned that the hard way the very first day, and now I'm like, we're gonna work like a better schedule out. But yeah, I just took today off and cleaned the house up and smoked a lot of weed.
Well, amen to that. So I've never really worked for a moving company, but I've moved quite a bit. But most of the time when I move, I'm like one of those people that I like send out like the mass text, which like my co-host has actually helped me move almost every single time. Where it's like, hey, if you help me move, I'll pay for the pizza and the beer at the end, but you don't get it. Oh, it's already catching up to you, but...
That was actually my lady.
Oh, jeez.
Sorry.
No, you're fine. You're fine. This is a family show. I mean, it's Dark Match Podcast. We're the fucking kids, so
yeah.
Blaze it up. Blaze it up. But, like, I tell them, like, look, you're not getting any pizza, no beer, until everything's unloaded on the truck or loaded on the truck. Like, after it's loaded, we'll have one celebratory beer, then we drive to wherever we're moving to, then we unload, and then after that, it's open season. You don't need to be around to help me unpack the boxes, but you do need to help me kind of get everything off of the boxes off the truck, too, and kind of move from there. So I understand how strenuous it could be doing that, geez, probably for 10-plus hours a day.
Yeah, no, it's back-breaking work, but... You sound like you've moved a lot. You had your whole day set out on your schedule. Like
I did. I haven't moved a whole lot recently. When I was a kid, we moved around. We really didn't move. We always had like our, I guess you could say like our central home. I was always in Cleveland, Ohio, but I come from a Air Force family, so my dad would get he would be up on the base, and we would go up there. So like we would move. Like pretty much like every summer we would move. So, but there was no beer there. It was like, hey, we'll go to like Pizza Hut and we'll like raid the buffet, and that will be our reward for moving in everything or whatever it may be. So that was kind of like the adult, like the child equivalent of like pizza and beer. It's like, hey, pizza and Mountain Dew. Which, what kid is going to turn that down? So
I would still work for that.
I would too, actually. I haven't had a Mountain Dew in a long time, but like recently I've been like, yeah, I need some Mountain Dew in my life. I'm rocking the Line and Kugels.
That's one of my favorites.
Yeah, we've been beer, like huge beer drinkers on our end. Like we're in the Wine and Kugel Summer Shandy kick right now. Recently we got out of our Broken Skull IPA kick. Granted, if a 4-pack wasn't $12.99, I'd buy it every single day. Don't get me wrong, but like I'm not made of money. Like after a while, I drink four a night, and my wife's like, "Okay, why are you charging $65 a week on beer?" And I'm running out of excuses. But and then during the holidays, we'll mix it around. So we're bigger drinkers here. But kind of getting back into the interview, obviously you're here for a reason, not just because you do these virtual smoke sessions, but for your professional wrestling. And if anyone wants to see Gnarls anywhere, you can just go over to YouTube, check him out. He is all over the place. He's competed everywhere. He's competed against everyone that you can imagine. You've had quite a career thus far. So tell us where this whole journey kind of started for you.
Well, honestly, my whole life I've wanted to do it. So I've always been the kid that just like I was obsessed with it. So I knew I was going to find a way. Well, I was 18 years old and a Fed opened up like literally like walking distance from my house, like a few miles, like if I really wanted to go. It was so perfect, and I talked to the trainer, and like I was like, well, yeah, I want to do this, and like he's like, well, what's your dreams with this? And I was like, I want to be able to like, you know, feed my family and like make money doing this. He's like, well, you're probably not going to hear this, but you're in the wrong business to do that. And I was like, oh shoot. It just kind of took me by, like, I couldn't hear anything else he said that whole time. Besides that, it was going to be, like, $1,000 a month. So, I was just kind of crushed. I was like, fuck, like, what am I going to do? Is this dream even, like, a dream that's worth chasing? So, I spent 2 years getting, like, good shape, like, really debating it, like, wanting to do it. Like, I was going to do it no matter what, but, like, you know, like, really, like, just getting ready and seeing if I was going to. And then, when I turned 20, I was just so desperate to get in the business that I was Instagram, like searching like Kentucky wrestlers and stuff like that. And eventually I got hooked up with this guy named Tad, and I sent him an instant message. I was like, hey, man, I'd do anything to be a wrestler. And he's like, oh, yeah? We'll just show up to this place Monday, and we'll get y'all set up. And then started there. Like, literally the week, it was like a Thursday, and I started that next Monday. So it's I don't know. It's kind of how things are now these days. You find everything through the internet or social media. Like, I wasn't asked to wrestle or anything. Like, this is just a lifelong passion I pursued. And luckily, through the internet, I was able to do so.
You weren't, like, terrified of, like a Happy Gilmore type situation? Like, hey, meet me here at this time, and we'll get you started, and then you, like, wind up, like, in a room that, like, the sprinklers go on at a certain time, and it's like, I got swerved or something like that.
No, I mean, I'm kind of an idiot. Like, I'll do things blindly if I'm, like, so, like, strongly, like, my passion is so strong for it. So I just was like, if somebody's going to try and tie me up and, like, you know, keep me hostage for a week, it was worth it because I was going for wrestling.
Okay, well, that's something that should be on your tombstone. Like, if they're going to tie me up, like, I'd die for this business, so.
Exactly.
I mean, and the passion's there. So you get started in the industry. You go to the wrestling school. You kind of found yourself getting into shape for it and preparing. And I guess you could say, like, it was just the final nail in the coffin that was like, yes, you know what? I'm not going to make a whole lot of money doing this, but this is what I want to do. What was that first week like at wrestling school?
Well, I'm not trying to be braggadocious, but, like, I had been, like, studying, like that whole weekend, finding all the YouTube videos that I hadn't already watched on how to be a wrestler, you know? And, like, I had, like, really focused on, like, how to bump and, like, first week. I just Googled everything. Like, I was just trying to be so prepared. But, like, being a kid that loved wrestling, I knew how to, like, do the stuff. Like, I did it in my backyard, like, with my neighbors and stuff.
Who didn't?
So, like, yeah, exactly, like. So, like, I had, like, a clue, like, and my first training, people were asking me, like, how long I had been working, and I didn't understand what they meant by that. I was like, this is my first day. And, like, there's not, like, the guys I was training with, not trying to be a dick, but they're not, like, they're, like, some of the better wrestlers in the area, but, like, they're, none of them, like, travel, you know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
Like, they didn't, like, they don't take it as seriously as I do now. So, like, sorry, I'm so damn high, I just got off track.
We're not even 10 minutes in, man.
No, it's all right. I've been smoking all day.
Oh, touche. Touche.
You lied to me.
Well, like, get me back on track. I'm so sorry.
No worries. You were talking about the local boys that were, like, that don't work as hard as you.
But before that, what got me saying that? I could not remember.
Oh, my God. And this is going to be fun. We were talking about the first week in wrestling school.
Oh, yeah. Those guys, like, they were, like, surprised. They thought I was already a wrestler. They really thought I was just, like, coming in to, like, get some, like, ring time. And I was like, no, guys, this is my first week. Like, this is my first time ever being in a ring. And then, like, I remember, like, it was terrible. Like, it was hard as fuck. Like, my training was, like, straight up just, like, cardio, blow up, like, survive in a ring. Like learn how to, like, breathe and, like, not get blown up. Like, our training was, like, exactly. It was very minimal on, like, skills, but, like, we learned the basics, but it was blow up drill after blow up drill after blow up drill. So it was challenging, but, like, I always rose above. Like, I was always, like, the first one to get done. Like, you know, like, I always, like, held, like, I don't know, like, I'm not trying to be braggadocious, but, like, I wanted so damn bad. I was, like, going to prove prove to everybody, like, I'm going to do this. Like, even though, like, my classmates, like, I'm not, like, competitive in the sense of being, like, a dickhead to people, but, like, I will let them know I'm going to work hard. I just by my actions will let them know I'm going to work harder than you. So, like, I don't know, like, that first week was, like, super hard, but it, like, kind of, like, it put a fire underneath my ass that I really needed in my life, you know?
Yeah.
I was going through a lot of terrible shit at the time, and I really needed something to, like, dig me out of it and, like, make me feel like I was, like, you know, capable of something.
I hear you. So you said that you just knew your entire life. Like, what was that first moment that kind of exposed you to wrestling as a kid?
Honestly, I think it's sitting in my granny's lap, like just watching wrestling with her as a little kid. Growing up, like, I was born in Indiana, but, like, at like the age of 3, we moved to Kentucky to help take care of my grandma, and she died a few years later, like not very, like it was soon after that, like this memory, but like I remember sitting in her lap and her just screaming at the TV, and like my Pappy Bill coming in and watching it with us, like having like dilly bars and shit like that. I was probably about like 4 or 5, like remembering that.
Like, what exactly was she watching?
Oh, WCW.
Oh, so you kind of grew up like a WCW kind of fan?
No, actually, like, I remember watching that, but like, she died when I was 6. So, like, after that, like, and my Pappy Bill died, like, literally, like, I think it was 2 weeks before or 2 weeks after her. It was so, like I had, like, a lot of, like, people die. And then my grandfather on my mother's side died, like, 2 months after my grandma died. It was, like, crazy for me as a kid.
Oh, yeah.
But, yeah, they, I mean, they were WCW because they went to, like, all the, like, territory shows in Louisville. And, you know, like, they knew all those wrestlers that were on WCW, like, personally. Like, my, like, dad probably, like, he said that, like, my dad hates wrestling now, but he'll talk about, like, Boogie Woogie Man and, like, random, like, Dutch Mantel, like, the most random WCW people that, like, you could think of. And my dad would, like, tell you, like, an hour-long story about, like, seeing them at the wrestling shows. So, like, they were all about the WCW stuff, but growing up, for me, it was all WWE, you know, because there was, like, 2000 and past, or 2001, I guess. I'm not completely sure, but, like, that was all WWE until TNA came out. But I was predominantly a WWE kid.
Yeah, and it's crazy, especially the evolution that wrestling has had, especially with, like, TNA. Like, before it was Impact Wrestling, especially once they had the transition with Kurt Angle coming over. I mean, TNA was hot at that time, and many people can talk about how great Kurt Angle was. He really hit his peak in TNA. Like, some of his best matches were actually in TNA that many people don't even know ever happened.
Especially, oh, yeah.
His feud with Samoa Joe, holy shit, was that great. Even just how he debuted, too. Just headbutting the shit out of Samoa Joe.
Like, right in the nose.
Oh, yeah. One of the greatest moments in Impact Wrestling history. And many people don't even know that's how he debuted. They just thought he, like, came out as this Olympic hero. Like, no. He came out and damn near broke Samoa Joe's nose.
So, he definitely, like, that was, like, I remember staying home from school sometimes, and it would be on during the day on, like, Fox Sports, because in Kentucky it's real close to Ohio, and, like, that's where Fox Sports is, like, kind of, like, mainly based out of. But, like, they would play it, like, regionally. Like, we would get TNA, and, like, some days when I would stay home from school, I would just, like, watch it and, like, just rewatch it constantly, because, like, I was like, this is wrestling during the day. Like, yeah. What?
It's like you think you just have the prices right in, like, the Maury Povich show, and holy shit, there's wrestling. This is
great. Divorce Court.
Oh, God. Don't get me started.
Judge Judy.
Yeah. Like, the most, I think, the radio the other day, like, what her salary is per year. Like, holy shit, how do I get that job? Like, she makes, like, $80 million a year, somewhere around there. I don't know. I think her net worth is, like,
are you telling me Judge Judy makes $80 million a year?
No, I think her net worth is $80
million. Oh, her net worth. Okay, I was like,
yeah, I misspoke there. Maybe I'm getting a contact high off of you guys, I guess.
Yeah, you probably are. We're smoking that loud.
Yeah, I probably getting a contact high right now. So we'll see what happens. I mean, we're still early in this, but you said that you were a WWE guy. What kind of characters did you find yourself gravitating towards?
Honestly, like, when I first started watching, I saw the Hardy Boys, and, like, that, I was just like, I'm Jake Hardy. Like, I was like, I'm a Hardy. Like, I was just, like, enamored by them. Like, I don't know what it was. I think, like, they, like, completely, like, had that, like, that whole shtick down, like, perfectly. Like, it, like, I felt it as a kid. Like, I'd be, like, doing those weird-ass dances, and my dad be yelling at me in the other room, like, you quit doing that. Like, don't be doing that.
Yeah, it's like that scene, like, from, like, Ready to Rumble, like, where the dad,
exactly,
the dad just screaming at him, like, my dad said I'm not allowed to watch wrestling, like stop doing that. Like, and my parents are the same way. Jeez, I used to get grounded if I watched wrestling as a kid. But then they,
oh man,
like, and then they were finally just like, okay, we can't stop you. Like, you're gonna watch it regardless. Like, who cares? Like, maybe I should have listened to them, but then I wouldn't have this wonderful podcast, I guess you could say. But
well, yeah, I feel you. No, I mean, same. Like, it was banned in the Beef household as a kid. Like, I would like use my little brother Zachary as like a squat. Like, I would put him on my shoulder and squat him as much as I could. Like, I would like do like swanton bombs off the corner of the couch on the floor to him, like F5s. Like, I'd powerbomb the couch. Like, my mom's like, no more of this. Like, you can't watch this anymore. Like, it just makes you crazy.
Oh, I completely feel you. My 2 year old, I watched like AEW with him recently. I'm convinced that's where he saw it at least. And we were watching a match. Darbin Alley was in the match, and he did the coffin dive. Now my son climbs on top of my headboard on my bed, which it's not low to the ground at all. He climbs on my headboard, and I posted it on our Instagram page too. And my son just holds onto it, and then he just falls backwards. Now the video I posted wasn't relatively high, but now he's figured out that if he puts his hand on the like on one of the posts, he can actually get himself up on top of it. So that fall is even higher now than what I posted. So
you're gonna be getting moonsault soon.
Oh no, I taught him how to sell. So he knows how to put people over. So like I'll like fake like super kick him and he'll like give me like a like funny ow. So he's learning how to sell now. At 2 years old, he knows how to sell better than a lot of people. So
there you go. Start him early.
Yeah. I super kick him. Like, I like give him a knee every now and then. Now, for CPS purposes, I'm not actually making contact. So please don't send a cop car to my house. I'm not truly beating up my 2 year old. Just for the subtitle at the bottom. I do not physically harm my children. I do not condone this behavior, but he does it very well. So, and he sells very well. So, but I digress. So I was a big Hardy guy too. So that's kind of what got me into it. Actually, the first wrestling event that I actually knew what I was watching, because I went to a wrestling event back in like 1994, 1996. I actually went to a Survivor Series, and I had no idea what was going on. I thought I was going to a Cleveland Cavaliers game. I had no idea. Like, my friend asked if I wanted to go to this event at the Gund Arena at the time. And it was, I want to say it was Survivor Series, but it might have been SummerSlam. I can't remember exactly. But I, like, walk in, and I'm like, where's the basketball court? He's like, oh, no, we're here for wrestling. And I had no idea what I was watching. So, but the first event that I actually went to that I wanted to go to was actually No Mercy in 1999. It was the Terry Invitational Tournament Tag Team Ladder Match between the Hardys, the Hardys and Edge and Christian. And it was the tag team ladder match, and that match in itself, like, got me hooked on wrestling. I was bought.
How could
in,
you not?
Oh yeah, I was in the second to last row in the Gund Arena, and even being up that high in the arena, watching what I was watching, I was like, "Holy shit!" Like, I'm bought in. I'm sold. This is something I'm tuning in every single week to watch. This is insane. So.
Oh yes. See, like, they, like, those guys, they always, they give themselves to, like, the business, like, completely, like,
yeah.
They made you want, like, they would, like, do anything to make you watch the next week.
Oh, yeah.
So, I those guys, I loved Edge and Christian. Oh, my gosh, like, I remember when Randy Orton first came out, I was, like, a big Randy Orton mark, like, the biggest, like, whenever he got turned on in Evolution, it truly broke my heart. I was like, what is going on? I didn't get it. Like, I was so young. Like, I was probably, yeah, like, in elementary school when all that was happening.
Like, my big, like, upset was, it was on a different faction, but it was when the NWO kicked out Conan. That was my first wrestling heartbreak, was at that moment when Conan got kicked out of the NWO Wolfpack. That was tragic for me. Still recovering from that, but I remember that moment.
Poor K-Dog.
Poor K-Dog. I could probably still sing his theme song, too. That's the sad part. 32 years old, and I can still sing K-Dog's entrance music. That's pretty sad. But
that he would do live,
yes.
Wouldn't he?
Oh, yeah. So I could probably still do it. If someone puts it on right now, I probably know all the words. It's a talent that I have, I guess. But so you're into wrestling. You get yourself in because of the Hardy Boys. You go to wrestling school. Now you're all over the place. I mean, I could list off your accolades, but why do I need to put you over any more than I already have? I mean, all you have to do is just jump on YouTube. You can jump down a rabbit hole. I did it earlier today at work, and I mean, I was lost for hours, and Jesus Christ, is there tons of content out there. So if you haven't done so already, jump onto YouTube, check it out. It's well worth the hours of entertainment. So all you have to do is just search his name on YouTube. But there's a lot of things going on in the world, as I'm sure you're aware. Now, you're down in Kentucky. I'm up in Ohio. I'm up in Cleveland, Ohio. Cleveland is predominantly known for our wrestling community. We have AIW up here. And cheers to Dave, because I got it right on the first fucking try. There you go, buddy. I didn't say AEW this time. So we got AIW up here, among many other promotions. But it was announced by our governor that, hey, we're not going to have wrestling anytime soon. No combat sports at any point in the near future, with no end date in sight. So how is the wrestling world looking for you? Are you getting bookings? Are you traveling elsewhere? What's going on with you?
Well, I just had my first booking back about 2 weeks ago. I wrestled at Paulcade, and it was pretty well ran. Like, it was, you know, everybody had their mask, you know, everybody's kind of like obeying like what they had to do. You know, the wrestling was fine and dandy. So yeah, that was good to be back in the ring. I'm kind of trying to space mine out as much as possible with all the stuff going on. Like, I've not turned down any bookings, so like, I'm taking pretty much everything I can have, like, thrown at me, but, like, also trying to be sparing as well, because I don't want to, like, get sick, and I don't want to, like, you know, like, I want to get back in his head first, but, like, you know, I'm not going to, like, go and, like, try to get booked at places that have never booked me, because that's kind of disrespectful, like, in my eyes, with all the stuff going on, you know, like, companies just started opening back up, like, I'm sure if they wanted you, they would have already, like, came to me, you know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah, you're not reaching out to them to get booked. Like, if somebody wants you, they can reach out to you, type of situation.
Yeah, exactly, and that's not trying to be disrespectful, it's just the time that we're in right now. Like,
no,
people
that's
are
extremely
like, money,
that's extremely respectful, because you're helping those guys out that have been at the promotion that haven't worked in quite some time, and here you are reaching out to them to get booked. I think it's very respectful on your part.
Yeah, I try to do my best by the business. I've made a lot of mistakes, but I've learned from them. So, like, I try to do things the right way. I don't know. I got some, you know, I got Black Label's bookings. I got St. Louis Anarchy's bookings for the Spirit Spalding, you know, the sponsor shows for Black Label, you know, the two that they have coming up. And I'm not sure if I'm doing the Eric Steen ones yet. I've not been announced. I've not been told anything. So we'll see if I'm on that one as well, that doubleheader they're having. I've got, like, if I could find my book, I can tell you everything. I'm just so goddamn stoned, I don't know it off the top. Let's see. Zero One as well. That's my next booking. And that's, August 2nd. It's a taping. And I'm actually wrestling for their heavyweight championship. I've been there for, like, 2 years, or almost 3 years now, so it's kind of cool to get a shot at that finally. And then after that, I'll have a weekend of St. Louis Anarchy and Black Label. That'll be fun. And then I have Unsanctioned Pro in September and St. Louis Anarchy as well. So we got some stuff going for us. And then St. Louis in October, November, and then in December. Oh, and we also have Black Label Pro in November. Don't forget that. December is St. Louis Anarchy, and I'm actually going to be debuting for my buddy's company, Anna Underground, in Illinois. It's a hardcore company, so nice. I'm really excited for that. I want more of that kind of stuff. So, got some stuff on the horizon, got some stuff in the works. Like I said, like, people, you know, like, get, like, still working things out, trying to figure out, like, right dates and stuff, but got some exciting debuts that will happen whenever all this stuff happens, because I was about to make so many damn debuts before all this stuff happened. Oh, I was so excited. But, you can only do with, like, what, like, you know, nature allows you. I don't want to get sick, and I don't want to get nobody else sick. So I'm just trying to be cool and, you know, stay healthy.
No, I hear you. And the last thing you want to do is overbook yourself and put yourself in that type of position where you could not only jeopardize yourself and fans, but at the same point, you get sick, not only you're out bookings, but potentially you're out employment because you have to call off, you're quarantined for 2 weeks. I don't know how things are going in Kentucky. I obviously, because you guys have bookings back and you're not in a state lockdown like our state has been. It was just announced starting tomorrow night at 6 p.m. If you are out in public at all without a mask, you can get a ticket. So it's mandatory right now by the state of Ohio. So you don't want to put yourself into a position where you're going to cost yourself money and more money than you want to. You've been fighting for so long to get back into it. Why jeopardize that now? So,
exactly.
But with COVID kind of coming to an end, for you at least, and getting solid bookings back, you've obviously, since March, you've found new ways to entertain yourself and entertain those of us on Twitter that just pop on at random times. And we see these virtual smoke sessions and you making offers for people to smoke with you and all this stuff. But other than that, what do you find yourself doing to occupy your time outside of the ring?
I just literally started my job back, or I just started a job, you know, was without employment for a while, so I was sitting around the house cleaning a lot. I got really good at that.
Your girl appreciates that.
Yeah, she should. I know, she definitely does. She even gave me like a little nudge whenever I said that. I think it was a sarcastic one, but whatever. I'll take it. Just really into like watching wrestling. I'm pretty boring.
You're really good at watching wrestling.
That's all I do is watch wrestling.
I think that that's a very undervalued skill. I don't think we get enough credit for how much wrestling we truly watch.
I'm right there with you. We don't get enough credit. We should get more credit for the amount of wrestling we watch.
I completely agree. I think that we are very under. If I have an opportunity to turn on a TV and put something on, believe you me, I'm putting on some type of wrestling show.
Yeah, it's either going to be YouTube or, like, the network or something. Like, if it's on the TV, if it's on my phone, it's going to be, it could be anything. But, like I can't stop. Like, I can't stop. If it's my choice and it's, like, literally just going to be my choice, like, hey, what do you want to watch? Wrestling. 10 times out of 10.
Yeah, same. If I have a choice, I'm putting on wrestling. If you tell me, oh, watch whatever you want to watch, and then next thing you know, my wife yells at me. She's like, I didn't mean this. It's like, then why did you tell me put on what you want to watch?
I hear that all the time. I didn't mean wrestling.
Well, you said whatever you want to watch. I want to watch this. Like, I don't get it. I don't. I'm right there with you.
I get it, though. I mean, hey, it's not everybody's cup of tea all the time. We're just freaks of nature. We just like watching big, oily, sweaty men punch each other. Might be a weird fetish we share.
I don't know about that, but I don't know. Maybe. I
don't know.
I don't know either. I wish I could tell you, but I really don't.
I've been examined, like, not like really, but like I've examined myself. Like, is there something deep down inside me that makes me just want to watch naked dudes fight? I don't know. And then I'm just like watching wrestling. Like, what of it?
Yeah, I'm right there with you. Like, I would prefer that over starting a new show. I would rather watch, and like, I've heard, like, it's like some type of like anxiety thing. I don't know why, like, but someone had stated that people are more likely to watch something that they know the end result in, other than watching something new, because they know the ending and they can prepare themselves and anticipate the reaction in a sense. I'm sure I'm getting that wrong in some way, but
I mean, I can totally relate to that because I'm like, I don't want to watch. I know what's going to happen. Like, and if there's like a match that makes you feel good, like a Ricky Steamboat Macho Man, I'm all for it.
Yeah, like I'm like my events that I go back to, like I always go, I'll go through, and if I have a choice, which is very rare, but if I have a choice, like I'm going through, and I would love, I love going back and watching like old like Royal Rumble matches. Like that's my go-to. That's what I like. It's either a good like old Royal Rumble or it's a War Games match.
Like yeah, it's like a really good gimmick match.
Oh yeah. Like, good ladder match, like, no, like, Judy Bagwell on a pole matches. That's not what we mean by gimmick matches, but,
yeah. Yeah, get that shit out of here.
Yeah, exactly. So, who knows? Like, I can't explain why I prefer that. It could be a movie that I've seen a million times, and I'm big on movies. Now, my co-host isn't here, so I can give him shit for the movies that he hasn't seen, but... Like when it oh no trust me you should be happy that he's not here because the amount of movies that he has not seen is extremely disappointing. So we've actually contemplated before we came out with our recent shirt, which you've seen, which is our Nitro DMP shirt that is our WCW knockoff. Before that, we were contemplating making a shirt that listed off all the movies that have been listed on our show. That Dave has not seen. It's a lot. It's a lot. Like,
give me an example. Yeah.
Oh, no. I'll name off some. He has not seen. Since it was just last year for the first time he saw Shawshank Redemption.
Oh, come on. They made us watch that in, like, middle school.
Yeah. He has never seen it until last year. 31 years old, he finally watched it.
And, that's a fucking classic.
Well, the worst part is we got done watching it. He's like, I just don't see what the hype is. It's like, how do you not? Like, that was a fucking...
It's a great-ass movie.
Another one. Now, he has seen... I will give him credit on this one. He has seen 3/4 of it. He has not seen the whole thing. Goodfellas. And silence falls across the room.
I watched that when I was, like, a child.
Same. Another movie he hasn't seen. Any of the Godfather movies.
I will not try to get so off topic, but I will just...
No, that's the purpose of my show. Like, okay. That's the purpose of our show. Like, let's get off topic. Like, let's go anywhere.
Do you remember the first time you saw boobs in a movie?
Yes.
It was Titanic for me.
It was Caddyshack for me.
Caddyshack? That has boobs in it?
Yes.
Oh my gosh!
I remember my dad like watching it with me. I was like 5 years old. I thought it was the funniest movie ever. And then there's just boobs on the screen, and my dad literally shoved me out of the room. Like, oh
my
shit!
Dad was like,
get out of here! It's like, what? Like, I'm like, it's normal. Like, I don't know. So I got pushed out of a room when I was 5 years old.
They're just boobs. My dad's a weirdo. Still is, yeah. To
same
this day.
With mine.
So the first time I saw boobs, my dad was like, "You like those?" And I was like, "I was like laying down beside the couch, and he like leaned over the arm of it, and he like tapped me on my shoulder, and he looked at me, he said, "You like that?" And I was like, "I did, but like I didn't know what to say. Like I felt embarrassed, so I was like, I don't know." And he said, "What do you mean you don't know?" And I was like, "Well, mom has them, and I don't want to." I was like, and I don't know, if I was just so nervous, so shy about it. But I remember that was the first time I saw boobs. But anyways, I don't know. I was getting nostalgic with all these '90s movies you're naming off.
Oh yeah, yeah. But, well, you mentioned Titanic, so at least you've seen Titanic. I think my co-host has seen Titanic. I haven't asked him yet. But,
who hasn't?
Yeah, but there's so many movies that he still has not seen. Like, classic movies he has not seen. Now, he's seen The Departed, so I'm happy about that. But he hasn't seen... I don't think he's seen Shutter Island, if memory serves me correctly.
Shutter Island was so fucked up. I watched that, I think, my sophomore year of high school. And I was like, what is this? Like, I couldn't, like, grasp it for, like, a while. I didn't understand what was going on. And then, like... It kind of like that's most like the Leonardo DiCaprio movies in like the tens, like the 2010s, except for like, well, I think pretty much all of them. They're kind of like, what's going on here? Like wild.
Yeah, but that was like the idea that we had was to make a shirt with all these movies that he hasn't seen, And he'll watch a TV show. He'll sit down, he'll watch a TV show, and he'll watch the entire series. But convince him to watch a movie he hasn't seen, and he's like, no, I'm not going to watch that. Like, no, I don't have time for that. It's like, bro, but you'll watch The Office for the 600th time? Like, no. Like, I can't give him shit over it, because I would watch The Office, too, any opportunity that I have. Now I'm on, I don't know if you ever watch it, but, like, now I'm rewatching The League.
The League, is that, like, where they play fantasy football?
Yes.
Nick Kroll and all
that? Yes, yes.
I believe I've only seen, like, the first two episodes of it, but, like, my Hulu is so fucked up. Like, every time, like, it goes to a break, it skips, like, half the show, and, like, the screen is completely zoomed in every time.
Yeah.
So, like, I've just kind of give up on Hulu, but I always see that. I thought about giving it, a chance. It looks awesome.
It's funny. Like, it's very unusual, like, some of the humor. But, obviously, like, if you're into, like, dry humor, like, things like Letterkenny. Yeah, if, like, you like Letterkenny and, like, you're in for, like, immature, like fart jokes, like, it's the show for you.
I call those shows buttfuckery shows. Like,
I like it.
you never know what you're gonna get, and it's gonna be, it's like, it's either gonna be funny or offend you. But
yeah.
I don't know. I like them. Maybe that was an appropriate thing to call it, but that's literally what I call those shows.
No, like, everyone has their own expression. Like, shout out to my friends over at the Essential Section podcast. Like, they just introduced me to Timmy Toughnuts. Never use that expression ever. But they use it as, like, someone, like, talking on Twitter, or, like, social media. Like, someone being, like, a tough guy is a Timmy Toughnuts. Like, I've always just called it, like keyboard karate is what I've always called. And, like, or, like, Billy Badass is what,
yeah.
What I would call people. I've never heard the expression Timmy Toughnuts. And now I'm, like, I'm glued to it. Like, I use it almost every single day. Like, but now, like... Yeah, like, just the overall fuckery of it. Yeah, I'm going to steal that expression. So
I like that. Timmy Toughnuts.
Timmy Toughnuts. So shout out
to... That's a good wrestling gimmick.
Yeah. Shout out to Breezy Getem for that one. He introduced me to that, and I was like, dude, I'm sold. I've never heard that before. And now I can gladly say that I use it on a daily basis, but kind of getting back on topic and off the place, I'm still... Because we're literally all over the place, I'm blaming it on the fact that I'm getting a contact high from you guys. But soon enough, we'll be at a show, and maybe we can do that in person. But you've already listed off all the places that we can see you at. But at this point, I'd like to kind of put you on the spot. Now, whether you decide that you want to tag along or not, that's up to you. But... There's a lot of names. If you jump down this rabbit hole on YouTube like I did earlier, you're going to see a lot of these opponents that you've faced that a lot of people would even know, too. And like I've mentioned, I put it over already, definitely jump down it. But what are some names of some individuals that either you've worked with, you haven't worked with, you've just worked with in the locker room, you've had your eye on dream opponent-wise? Give me five names of individuals working today that you feel need a little bit more exposure. If our listeners were to take those five names and follow anyone, who would it be other than yourself?
Oh, man. That's really easy. I have, like, a lot of buddies that, like, are just, like, way better than me. It's just the way it is now. You have to promote yourself. You have to really put it out there. Like, it takes all your time. It's going to annoy the shit out of your girlfriends. Everybody around you is going to hate you for trying to be something on the internet, but like that's all it takes, really. You just have to really put yourself out there. And I only have 2,000 followers yet, like, but you know, it's one person at a time. So people just have to realize that. So with that, I will say, like, and this is like no knock on their like social media presence or anything like that. Like, I think that really shouldn't matter in wrestling, but it's just how the business works now.
I agree. Yeah.
My buddy Drew Dillinger from Southern Indiana is very good. He's like, I'm pretty sure he's under 400 now, but he is like one of the most athletic big men I've ever seen in the ring. He's like, just like a Vader. So he's pretty badass. I think that he should get more love. Who else? I don't ever, like, want to make it seem like, I don't know, like, I always have a really low opinion about myself, so I never want to seem like I'm better or, like, bigger than anybody. You know, I'm very humble, like, to my core. Like,
yeah.
I don't ever want to seem like I'm, like, you know, degrading somebody or anything by doing this. I'm just, like, I'm just trying to, you know, think honestly. Like, I don't know, like, a lot of guys from my area are so damn good. Like, Freddie Hudson, he's one of my better friends in the business. He's really, really good. My buddy Ace Jackson from Southern Indiana, he wrestles a lot in, like, Kentucky and, like, West Virginia, like smaller towns. Like, you know, he does great in those towns, but he's only a few years in. But he's one of the better guys I've got to wrestle with in the Southern Indiana area. Where are we at? 3 right now?
I mean, you can list off as many as you want. It doesn't need to be just 5.
Okay, I don't know, like, I'm a part of helping, like, a school in Southern Indiana, and, like, I really appreciate all those guys. Like, they're all, like, I'm only 5 years in, and, like, these guys are just now starting their careers, and, like, I wish I got to, like, do it how they did. So, like, I always try to give those guys, like, a lot of help a lot of my time. There's a guy named Big D, and he is Dominic DiGiorno, sorry. And he,
you can apologize to him later.
Yeah, yeah. He's like 6'6" and like 350, and he's another one of those like freakishly athletic dudes. We're trying to get him all squared away. Like right now, I'm trying to help him out. Like he's gonna start traveling with me actually when all this stuff returns and goes away. So be on the lookout for him because he's gonna be with Beef a lot. And also, I give a shout out to my buddy Dawson Spaulding. He's one of the hardest workers I've met in the business, and he really wants it. So I hope good things happen for him.
Well, there's 5 people, and all the other people that you didn't mention, I guarantee you're not going to get a Christmas card this year, so I apologize for that. But or you can just tell people that you like listed off like 50 people, but like I was the dick that said that I was going to edit everyone out and only leave it to 5. Like you can put me under for this one. That I have no problem with that.
No, I mean, people get it. Like, people know how I am. Like, I'm not trying to, like, take a spotlight like, off of, like, it's not, like, I'm not concerned about that at all. I'm just, you know, I don't know. Like, just, I feel like everybody is on equal footing in this business until you've really made it, like, and everybody's just, you know, trying to figure out their own way. You know, like, I had, like, vets over my career for the long, like, for the first, like, 3 years, and, like, now I'm on my own, and I'm trying to figure it out. So, like, sometimes I don't ever want to seem like I'm not, like, humble or anything. Like, I always want people to know, like, I'm here to help, and I'm also here to get helped.
Oh, yeah.
So, definitely. But, like, yeah, I'll put all the heat on you.
Yeah, do that. Everyone else does anyway. Like, I could name off the same things that you just named off, and my wife would probably hit me. So, she would probably blame me, too, and she'd listen to this entire episode, and she's been sitting fairly close to this and be like, yeah, like, you're a dick for editing all that out, even though she heard everything that I said. But, yeah, like, I'm going to get heat regardless, but obviously I don't want to take too much of your time. You have been smoking all day. You've been enjoying your day off and returning to the workforce as well and returning to the ring as well as soon as August 1st when they can see you back at it again. But if you haven't already, go ahead and follow along. You can find all of his tags all across social media. He's tagged in all of our posts in this recording as well. If you actually check in the description, you can find his handles as well. You can find him on Instagram and Twitter. But, Beef, we truly appreciate it. Like I mentioned, I don't want to take too much of your time. I want you to go back, have your virtual session, and the next time you do it, be sure to tag us, and we'll join you next time.
Absolutely. And, I mean, I'm so grateful that we finally got to work this out, and I hope to be back on, like, 100 more times. I truly had a good time. I didn't feel like I had to, you know, censor any of my thoughts.
No.
I talked about the first time I saw boobs.
Yeah. That's not a, like, I can honestly say that I think that's the first time that that's happened on our show. In almost 3 years on the air, you're the first person that referenced the first time that they've seen boobs. So
I mean, I can get weirder. It's,
you that know was what? Like that, that's a good tease for hand. Part 2. That's a good tease for part 2. We'll have Big Beef on again. Maybe we'll even do it. You know what would be perfect? If well, no, because I don't want to wait. I don't want to wait that long. But let's pencil you in. Let's have you on for our 420 episode.
420, Big Beef will be on Dark Match Podcast.
You can put it on your calendar right now. Like, flip over to 2021, and on 420, if we're not all dead by then, but 420, 2021, let's have a virtual smoke session. Maybe it will be like our first like live taping. I think that would
maybe
be fun. Who knows? Hey, Kentucky's not that far.
It's not at all. It's the next state over.
You know what? Cleveland's not that far for you either. Just drive on up here.
It's 6 hours. Ain't too far at all.
No, let's do it. Let's do it. So 420, we're going to have Big Beef on. We don't know if that's going to be part 6, part 7, part 8, or part 2. Who knows? But we're definitely going to have him back on. We can get weirder, which sounds like fun to me. So Big Beef, ladies and gentlemen. Hell of a weekend overall. I mean, with everything that happened with Slammiversary, I mean, Impact Wrestling has been on an absolute roll.
Impact is starting to kind of take the lead here in some of the...
Well, they're leading the way on Tuesdays, that's for damn sure. But,
oh, yeah, because there's nothing on Tuesdays.
Well, yeah, but they're leading Tuesdays. They were number two trend in the world last night. And it was a hell of an episode with everyone that debuted from Slammiversary and then coming over on to Tuesday night, last night with Impact. I mean, you got the Good Brothers going up against... it looks like they're starting a feud with Madman Fulton and Ace Austin, which I'm all for. But then you have the new tag team champions, the North, after 381 days, finally lose the TNA or Impact Wrestling Tag Team Championships. The new tag team champions, Motor City Machine Guns. So huge congratulations to Alex Shelley and also Chris Sabin. That was a hell of a match. Did you have an opportunity to watch that?
I have not yet.
Oh, my God. Get on there right now and watch it. That was a hell of a match. So, but another huge shock was the debut and return of EC3 going after Moose. So who knows what this is. I don't know about this character, though. Like, it's been all over the place. Like, what is he supposed to be? It's very reminiscent of, like, I don't know if you recall back in the day, the Sean O'Hare character. Do you remember when he was coming back on a major push? They were making him like, I don't even know what kind of character it was. It was just like he was talking about existence and conspiracy theories and like all kinds of things. It was a very unique character, but obviously we all know what happened with Sean O'Hare. But with EC3, I'm excited to see what happens with this character. I'm excited to see what happens with Heath Slater. Are they actually going to let him in the building? Kurt Hawkins, are they actually going to let him win a match? I mean, that'd be a great transitional point from WWE, that's for sure. So, I'm sorry, I apologize. I said Kurt Hawkins, I meant Brian Myers. So, we need to scratch that because I misspoke there. Otherwise, another huge event happened this weekend. IWC back in business. Now, have you watched some of the footage? Because I don't know if you watched the whole event just yet, but have you watched some of the footage from 2-1 Media as of yet?
I've seen a couple things that have come out, and it looked, hey, the way they had that set up looked really, like, really interesting, a good concept.
Oh, yeah.
And hopefully, maybe this is something where maybe they can keep some shows kind of going on. Maybe not their typical show, like, that they normally would have. Like, I think this month normally was, wait, July? Because last year was the one we went to was Threat Level Midnight. I think August would be, like, Caged Fury, if I recall.
You are correct, my friend. We would have missed, we missed Super Indie, and this would have been Threat Level Midnight. You are correct.
Yeah, that, you know, maybe they won't be able to do that, but at least if they can put something on where they can at least, you know, just kind of essentially keep the ball starting to roll, like, forward at least.
Yeah.
I hope they have that ability to do that, because, like I said, things that things that they put out that I've seen, it looked like a good setup, looked like they had a pretty decent crowd. So I'm very happy that also the weather held up. I heard it was kind of hot.
Oh, it was scalding.
It was a little rough for that.
Extremely.
But I think for everybody would take that over either not having it or, well, right.
I agree. And with those drone shots, too, especially with the entrances, like the one with, I've seen a couple of them. You saw the one with Palace just running, being a spasmanian devil as he is. With Johnny Patch coming in on the motorbike, blasting Limp Bizkit, and then with the Regulators coming in. I've seen a couple of them, but I do have to admit, I have been severely busy. Now, my usual technique, if I am working, and I've done it with multiple events, I watch it on the IWC network on my phone. Unfortunately, while I was at work on Saturday, I come rolling up, and I was in, do you know where New Philadelphia is? Do you know where,
not a damn clue.
What's that?
Not a damn clue.
Okay. It's 15 miles east of Bumfuck Egypt, okay?
Okay.
Okay. So we're on the same page now, right?
Sure.
Okay. So it's in the middle of fucking nowhere, and, You drive 15 miles east of middle of nowhere. I'm seeing nothing but trees. I'm seeing nothing but fields. Then all of a sudden, I just see this big sign for my event center. And it's like, hey, Tall Timber Resort down this way. So, I go down there. I pull up. And it's, this huge lake. You see, these, zip lines. This huge golf course. It looks gorgeous. Absolutely gorgeous. I park my car. I grab my phone, and my screen literally tells me no service. I'm like, fuck. Because, my phone's, at work, my phone is, my emergency backup, too. Heaven forbid something happens, I know I have, my Spotify Premium, where, I can throw on something, have worst case scenario. I'm like, I can't even freaking do that. Well, then I'm like, okay, great. You know what? I have a hotspot in my equipment that I can use. Well, who's the hotspot through? Verizon Wireless. Who is my cell phone service through? Verizon Wireless. What does the hotspot use? Wireless service provided by Verizon Wireless. So not even my hotspot works. I literally had to call my wife. I ran down to the main office. And I had to call her. I'm like, hey, I'm not dead. It's going to show you that I'm in a field somewhere. I'm not dead. I am fully alive. I will call you later when I get cell service. But I didn't have any cell service. Couldn't watch. I couldn't watch IWC. So I have yet to watch it. Unfortunately, it's been a pretty busy week. But I've heard the spoilers already, which I'm a little upset about. But if there's some matches that I'm excited to watch, I am excited to watch the match between, I guess you could say, the Body Up Boys and Hardcore Hammer Time. I want to watch that match because the back and forth between Elijah Dean and Dan Hooven has me invested. And I really don't think that this feud is over as of yet. And I think I speak for, I'm not going to say the masses because not many people give them credit when credit's due. But holy shit, are Zach Nystrom and Elijah Dean fucking ripped. They have absolutely taken advantage of this quarantine. So kudos going out to them, the Body Up Boys, more importantly. So what match has you kind of pumped to watch?
Well, right now I'm just curious to see who they're going to choose as the number one contender.
I think it's going to be Jock. I really do.
We're sorry, Jack, because we know he listens, but since we heard Jock won,
and then that's the only reason why. Because yeah. our shirt is selling like hotcakes, and I'm excited to shoot.
We don't want to offend Jack, but
I don't either. But no offense, I've already paid him, so good for him. But yeah, at this point, Jock did win. Did he win fair? It doesn't matter. His arm got raised at the end. So if it's between anybody, and no disrespect to anyone else, but I think I want to see Jimmy and Jock. That's the event that I want to see. Mount up at this point, or throw in the snack cakes. But I want to see Vegas, and I want to see Samson. That's what I got. That's my take, at least. And big shout out as well, first and foremost, to our good friend Johnny Patch, retaining the Indy Championship in one hell of a ladder match from everything that I've seen. It was brutal. But, yeah, those drone shots. It was very reminiscent, some of the shots I was showing, and probably when I say this, like, Patch is going to be like, that's what we were going for. It was very reminiscent. Do you remember the tag team ladder match between the Hardys and Edge and Christian? I talked about it earlier in the episode, but when they had that shot, they had the camera on the on like the rope that was holding the bag. Do you remember that shot during that match?
I may have missed that one.
Okay, whatever. Well, it was like the first time that they've ever used the above the ring camera in that essence. So you could really get like an idea of how far down they truly fall. And like some of those shots, like especially that Shooting Star Press was just absolutely stellar. So a huge shout out once again to 2-1 Media and putting that together on a week's notice. A huge shout out to IWC. Not only keeping the fans safe and everyone, but putting on a hell of a show from start to finish. So I can honestly tell you, we're really upset that we missed it, and we will definitely make it up to you. And I'm thinking at this point, I'm knocking on wood, but the one show that has been announced being Super Indie, I actually do not have a wedding that day. So I'm currently crossing my fingers that it stays that way.
What day is that again?
I would have to check, but I believe it's September 12th. But I may be incorrect. I do have to check again, though. That's going to do it for this week's episode. If you haven't already subscribed, be sure to do so as well. Also, big shout out. I know I mentioned them previously, but go on over. Follow our friends over at the Essential Section Podcast. They've shouted us out twice in just two episodes, so huge congratulations, huge success to them. They're doing an awesome job. They're way better than us. So if you haven't already followed them, go ahead and follow the...
Give us some freaking credit, dude.
I am giving us some credit because they're listening to this, so they have to listen to this to listen to them. But huge shout out to them. They're doing fantastic. I even said they're better than us, which isn't saying much, but... they're doing better than us.
Thanks for the confidence in your own show, Pat.
I have tons of confidence in our show, but they're really good. They are really good, and they are just like us. They're very meticulous about what they do, and I'm happy for their success. And I think that they're doing a lot better than they're giving themselves credit for. Is that better? Does that make you feel better, Dave?
Well, they're only a couple episodes in. They got to find their footing.
Well, yeah, but they did. I mean, their first episode was really good. Their second episode, when they did the preview for Back in Business, it was really good as well. And they even brought us up to call our shirt Fire. And guess what? They were the first ones to buy our shirts, too. First order came in the second after we posted it. It's like, hey, you got a new order from Cody and the Eccentric Section. I'm like, oh, okay, cool.
Sweet.
I'm like, thank you, guys. I appreciate the love. So when they drop a shirt, we'll be sure to buy it as well. But if you haven't subscribed to this podcast as of yet, do so. Follow them as well. More importantly, if you haven't followed us over on social media, go ahead and do so. But we will see you next week. We have something very excited planned for next week. Maybe a little three-parter. We don't know. But we also have a very exciting guest on the table as well that we're excited to bring. Finally, it's only been a few months that we've been trying to get him on, so we're happy to bring it to you. But you got to tune in next week to find out. Have a great weekend, everybody. And most importantly, go Tribe.